This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It's said that some places hold on to the memories of what's happened there, soaking them up like the walls of an old house holding whispers of conversations long past. Sometimes those memories become something more, something that follows you, something that refuses to be left behind. Our story tonight takes us to the sun-soaked state of Florida, where a rundown motel sits on the outskirts of a small town, a place where secrets and sorrow linger in the humid air. It was there that a simple act of kindness would lead young couple into a nightmare they never saw coming. Cleaning up after tragedy is one thing, but what if that tragedy latches on to you? Desperate for someone to notice, someone to help, or someone to haunt. Meet Billy and Joe, a couple who thought they were doing a friend a favor, a couple who had no reason to believe that their lives were about to be upended by something they couldn't explain. What began as an ordinary day cleaning room 106 soon twisted into a series of events that brought Billy back to her childhood fears, a terror that crept into every corner of her mind and every shadow in her home. So turn the lights down low and remember, sometimes when the past refuses to stay put, it will do whatever it takes to make sure it's heard. Dear Tony, I never imagined I'd be writing to you about something like this. I've always considered myself a practical, no-nonsense kind of person. But what's been happening to me defies all reason, and the only way I can deal with it is to put it into words, hoping that maybe, just maybe, sharing it will bring me some peace. I suppose I should start with a piece of my past. When I was a small child, I had experiences with my grandmother's spirit, even after she passed away. I remember seeing her often, and while she never seemed angry or threatening, those encounters left a mark on me. They led to an overwhelming fear of being alone, and an even worse fear of the dark. For years, I couldn't bear the feeling of isolation, always looking over my shoulder, expecting to see something or someone there. Eventually, those fears subsided, and I managed to find some normalcy. But all of that changed this past July. It was July 16th, to be exact. My husband Joe and I have been living in Florida for a while now, and we've made a few close friends. One of them is Leslie, a wonderful woman in her 60s who manages a rundown motel on the outskirts of town. Leslie is the kind of person who feels more like family than a friend. She's been there for us, and in return, we help her out whenever we can. We'd do anything for her, which is why when she called asking for our help, we didn't hesitate. That morning, Leslie's voice was heavy with worry. She told us that a young man had checked into room 106 the day before and wouldn't answer the door. Guests sometimes leave without returning keys, so I didn't think much of it at first. I headed off to work expecting that she'd sort things out. But a few hours later, Joe called with grim news. The young man had taken his own life in that room. The weight of that tragedy settled over me, but I didn't dwell on it too much. I didn't know him, and I've never been particularly emotional when it comes to things like that. A few days later, Leslie called again, sounding even more distressed. The police had cleared the scene, and the room needed to be cleaned. She couldn't bear to do it herself, and she didn't have the money to hire a professional cleaning crew. Joe and I had been struggling a bit since he'd gotten laid off, and she was offering us $200 to clean it. I didn't want to see whatever was left behind in that room, but the money was tempting. It was supposed to be an easy, if unpleasant, job. How wrong I was. When we arrived at the motel that morning, the air felt thick, like it was pressing down on me. Leslie gave me one last chance to back out, but a deal is a deal, so I forced myself to push forward. As we walked toward room 106, an overwhelming sense of dread washed over me. I was shaking, cold chills running up my spine, and I could feel tears welling up in my eyes. It was like some unseen force was telling me to turn around and run. But I swallowed those feelings, convinced myself it was just nerves, and stepped inside. The room felt suffocating, drenched in sadness. Cleaning it took us 3 hours, but every minute felt like an eternity. I can't put into words the feeling that clung to the air the way it seemed to seep into my skin. But once we were done, I thought that was it. We'd leave, get paid, and move on with our lives. I couldn't have been more wrong. A few days later, I was home alone, sitting on the couch and scrolling through the internet. Out of nowhere, a feeling washed over me. The overwhelming sensation that someone was watching me. I got up, checked every window, made sure all the curtains were closed, but the feeling wouldn't leave. It clung to me, like an invisible pair of eyes boring into my back. As I stood there trying to convince myself it was just paranoia, I heard a voice. It was faint but unmistakable. "Billy?" It stuttered over the first letter, like whoever or whatever was speaking had to struggle to get the words out. My heart nearly stopped. I was the only one home, and our neighbor was out too. I tried to rationalize it, but deep down I knew something was wrong. I felt so uncomfortable that I left the house, desperate to escape the feeling of being watched. That night, things got even worse. As I lay in bed, the sensation came back, but stronger. It felt like the darkness itself was pressing down on me, heavy and oppressive. Our little pug, only 6 months old, started growling, something he rarely does. I sat up to see what was bothering him, and that's when I saw it. Through the glass doors leading into the bathroom, a smoky shadow stood, almost solid but not quite. I tried to convince myself I was seeing things, that my mind was playing tricks, but then I smelled it, a thick, unmistakable scent of vanilla cigars. I hate cigars, and no one in our house smokes. The smell seemed to radiate from the bathroom and laundry room area, lingering long after I checked every corner. Joe searched the house for intruders, but we found nothing. The smell eventually faded, and I managed to fall asleep, but the unease never left. Over the next few days, more strange things happened. The TV would turn off and on by itself. Objects moved from where I'd left them, and I heard faint mumbling in the next room. I even felt something touch the top of my head while I was washing my face, but when I looked, there was nothing there. Still, it was the feeling of being watched that tormented me the most. It was like eyes were following my every move, and my fear came roaring back. Every light in the house stayed on day and night. Joe started to think I was losing my mind, and that hurt more than I can say, but I knew these things were happening. Then today, everything came to a head. Now, Joe and I were sitting on the couch, our two dogs lying beside us. The rocking chair in the corner started to move. It rocked gently at first, then more forcefully. We thought the cat had climbed into it, but when we checked, she wasn't there. We were on our way back to the couch when the bedroom door swung open, slamming against the wall. It wasn't a gentle creak from a draft. It was as if someone had thrown it open with force. Before we could react, the washing machine in the laundry room moved, unplugged itself, and slid 5 feet from the wall, turning a full 180 degrees to face us. We were frozen, terrified. Joe put the washer back, closed the door, and we left the house without a word. And now, here I am, sitting in the car, trying to make sense of it all. We've only lived in this house for 4 months, and so much has gone wrong. We even lost a baby shortly after moving in. At the time, I found small handprints on the inside windows of my car, but there were no ghostly activities until we cleaned room 106. Now it's like something followed us home. I have daymares of a man whispering, "I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean it." I don't know what he wants or why he's here. All I know is that this isn't over. Sincerely, Billy. The day after we left the house, I knew we had to confront whatever was going on. But how do you face something you can't see? Something that seems to move with the shadows and watch you even in the brightest light? Joe tried to be supportive, though I could see the doubt in his eyes, a flicker of worry that maybe I was losing my grip on reality. But after the washing machine incident, even he couldn't deny that something unnatural was happening. We tried to return to our normal routine. Joe got busy looking for work, and I threw myself into the small tasks that filled my day. But the house felt different now, like the air was too thick, pressing down on me from every angle. The feeling of being watched never left, and I began to notice things that I had tried to ignore before. The shadows seemed darker, moving when I turned my back. The scent of vanilla cigars would come and go, strong enough to make my stomach turn. And then there were the whispers, faint and disjointed. like someone trying to speak from far away. I started to have those daymares more often. They'd hit me out of nowhere, vivid and chilling. In these flashes, I'd see a young man sitting in the dark, head in his hands, rocking back and forth. He'd look up, eyes wide and desperate, and say, "I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean it." The sadness in his voice was suffocating, and it clung to me long after I snapped out of it. I tried to tell myself that it was all in my head, but deep down I knew the truth. Room 106 had left its mark on me. One afternoon, I decided to try something I'd seen on TV. I stood in the middle of the living room, my hands trembling, and said out loud, "If you're here, you need to leave. You don't belong in this house." My voice echoed in the still air, and for a moment everything was silent. Then the temperature dropped, a chill swept through the room, and I heard a sound that made my blood run cold, a soft, low sobbing coming from the hallway. I froze, too terrified to move, and the sobbing faded into a whisper. "I didn't mean to do that." I felt a tear roll down my cheek, and I didn't even realize I was crying. The grief in that voice was overwhelming, and for the first time I felt a pang of sympathy for whatever spirit had attached itself to us, but that sympathy didn't make it any less terrifying. I wanted to help, but how could I, when I didn't even understand what it wanted? Things took a darker turn that night. Joe and I were in bed, the dogs curled up at our feet, when I woke up to the feeling of something pressing on my chest. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. My heart pounded in my ears, and I struggled to force air into my lungs. I've read about sleep paralysis, but this felt different. My eyes darted around the room, and that's when I saw him, a shadowy figure standing at the foot of the bed. He was tall, with indistinct features, but I could make out his eyes. They were dark and sorrowful, full of regret. The pressure lifted, and I sat up with a gasp, but the figure was gone. Joe woke up, startled, and I told him what happened. He didn't try to reassure me this time. Instead, he just held me, and I felt his own fear radiating from him. We were both exhausted, but neither of us could sleep after that. The following days were a blur of anxiety and exhaustion. Joe started sleeping with a baseball bat next to the bed, even though we both knew that a physical weapon wouldn't help against whatever was haunting us. The activity in the house only escalated. Doors slammed, lights flickered, and objects moved on their own. The smell of vanilla cigars became almost constant, and every time it filled the air, I knew something was about to happen. One evening, Joe was in the kitchen making dinner while I tried to relax on the couch. The rocking chair started to move again, slow and deliberate. I watched it frozen as the air around me grew colder. The sobbing returned, louder this time, echoing through the house. I could feel the sadness pressing in, making it hard to breathe. Joe came rushing into the living room, and we both watched as the chair rocked harder, as if someone was pushing it in a fit of grief. Then the bathroom door slammed shut. We jumped, and Joe grabbed my hand. "Enough," he said, his voice firm but shaking. "We're getting out of here." We packed a bag and left the house, not caring where we ended up. We just needed to be somewhere safe, somewhere that didn't feel like it was trying to suffocate us. We stayed at a friend's place for a few nights, and during that time I tried to learn more about the young man who had taken his life in room 106. I scoured the internet, hoping to find a photo or a story that would shed some light on who he was, but there was nothing. Just a name in a police report and the vague details of his tragic end. I couldn't find a single picture of him, and that made it all feel even more surreal. When we finally returned home, the activity seemed to have quieted down, but the feeling of being watched never left. I still have those daymares, still hear the whispers and smell the cigars. I think about that shadowy figure, the sadness in his eyes, and the words he kept repeating, "I didn't mean to do that. Maybe he's stuck, unable to move on. Maybe he needs help, or maybe he's just angry, and we were unlucky enough to cross his path." All I know is that this isn't over. The fear is back 10 times stronger than it ever was when I was a child, and I don't know if I'll ever feel safe in the dark again. Sincerely, Billy, thank you for sharing your chilling story, Billy. It's not often that we hear of a haunting that escalates so quickly, from whispers and shadows to full-blown poltergeist activity. It's clear that whatever attached itself to you from room 106 is not just a simple spirit passing through. This haunting is personal, almost desperate, and that makes it all the more terrifying. Let's try to unpack some of this. From a psychological standpoint, trauma and grief leave powerful imprints, and places like that old motel are drenched in residual energy from years of sadness and sorrow. Cleaning up after a tragedy, especially one so recent, might have exposed you to that lingering energy. But this feels like more than just a residual haunting. The sobbing, the whispers, and the physical movements of objects suggest a spirit that is intelligent, aware, and possibly even trapped by its own emotions. Could this young man's spirit have latched onto you, drawn to the kindness and compassion you and Joe showed by helping Leslie in her time of need? Perhaps he's confused, lost, and unable to move on, which is why he keeps repeating, "I didn't mean to do that." Or maybe there's something darker at play, a spirit feeding on fear and thriving in an environment where emotions are high. And then there are the physical manifestations, the shadow figure, the pressing sensation, and the moving furniture. These are classic signs of a haunting that's escalating. And it's understandable that your childhood fears have come rushing back. Fear has a way of amplifying these experiences, making it hard to separate reality from the mind's tricks. But even Joe, your steady rock, has seen enough to believe that this is very real. So, what can be done? Sometimes acknowledging a spirit and setting boundaries can help, but other times professional intervention is needed. Cleansing rituals, spiritual blessings, or even reaching out to a medium might be necessary steps to find peace. But one thing is for sure. Whatever this entity is, it's left its mark, and it won't be easy to shake. In the end, stories like yours remind us of the delicate line between the seen and the unseen, the rational and the unexplainable. It makes you wonder, when we help the living, can we also unknowingly take on the burdens of the dead? Stay safe, Billy. And for now, keep the lights on.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabae, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabae sofas, the only fully machine-washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabae, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabae sofas, the only fully machine-washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly, perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.